Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Hayomi Maseches Erechin Daf Vav. We begin right on top of the Amud, the first line, Tanachada. So this connects to yesterday. We concluded with an interesting point that we're hesitant to accept donations from Goyim to finance the building of our Beis HaMikdash, for concern that perhaps their agenda is to slow us down and eventually terminate the whole construction by having us rely on them and on their financing, which eventually will dry out, and this way they'll disrupt our project. So now we have a braisa, on the one hand, which says, accept it. So if they donate for the Bedek HaBayis, for the building of Beis HaMikdash, sure. The other braisa says, don't take it. Refuse their donation. Tana Chada, one braisa says, Oy, v'chomish, it's not even a double. The Bedek HaBayis, a guy donated for the Bedek HaBayis, for the building fund, Mikabel Moisa. Hey, Menu, we accept it. V'tani Yidach, we have another braisa, Ein Mikabel, we refuse it, we turn it down. How do we explain this discrepancy? Amar Ila, Amar Biecha. It depends at what point in construction. Are we starting our building? In which case, we're going to be relying on them, and perhaps they have an agenda to use their money to blackmail us, to slow us down and eventually disrupt it. Loikash, Chobit Chila. If it's at the beginning, Rashi on top says, B'tchila Sabinim, well, they're just starting to build a Beis HaMikdash. As per yesterday's discussion, the time of Kairish, we don't accept their donations. Why? Perhaps they're trying to stop us. The Shema Lirifyon Yodayim is Gavin, they're trying to slow us down, weaken our abilities to succeed and to actually complete our project. Ho Batchila. Ho, but the other Braisa, which allows acceptance of Gayesha donations, Besoif, says Rashi on the second line, we're speaking, it's already up, it's already built. L'chazek is bedakov, to repair the cracks for the maintenance fund. That carries no concern of, you know, disruption. Dein loyma rifrin yadayim, in that case, is no, they're not agenda driven. It's already up, it's already going. In this case, makabla. Continues the Gemara. Damar b'asi, amar b'yechan. This corresponds with another halacha presented by Rabbi Yechanan. B'tchila, so initially, at the start of construction, afilu mayim u'melach ein mekabel mehem, don't accept anything. Even mayim u'melach, salt, water, ein mekabel mehem. You can't accept it. Right? For use of the, you know, financing of the building, b'soif, but later on, when it's already standing, it depends. We accept up to a point. Dabar ha-mesuyam. If it's something intact, something which will be visible for all time, ein mekavim, that we don't accept. And Rashi says two reasons. Firstly, the gnaihu. It's not appropriate for to have a geisha, you know, candelabra hanging out with Beis HaMikdash. Voishim is sparim, but additionally, says Rashi, they boast about it. Look, that's our donation. It's not appropriate to have that now, Beis HaMikdash. But Dabar she'einu mesuyam, something which is not distinct, something which will not be visible, would not stand out, something which will be embedded in the wall, etc., something which will not be standing out, then mekavlin, that we can accept. Give me an example. Hechidom Dabar mesuyam, what's something which is distinct and visible. Amrav Yesu Gan Al Amakal Yoirev. Rashi explains they had the bird chasers, the Oirev chasers. So on top of the Beis HaMikdash, had these steel plates, these Barzel plates, on which they had these nails. So they were an Amma by an Amma in size, these plates, to discourage the birds from landing on the Beis HaMikdash. So that's something distinct, that you shouldn't accept from a guy, have it sit on the Beis HaMikdash, have him point to it as his donation. Masa Rav Yosef. So Rav Yechanan teaches that, betchila, at the start of construction, we don't accept anything from a guy. But we do find in Tanakh, in Nehemiah, that actually they sent a request to the king. Right? There was a fellow called Asaf. He was the one in charge of the forest, and they sent a message that a request that the king should authorize Asaf to allow them some lumber for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so apparently they did accept donations from Goyim, even at the onset of construction. Moshe Rav Yosef, he gave us Asaf, this letter to Shemar HaPardes, letter regarding Asaf, the one who was a Shemar HaPardes, in charge of the forest, Asher Lamelech, right? Amalei Abayis, Abayi responds. It's different when you're petitioning the authorities, the king. Amalei Abayi, Shani Malchus. The authorities, the government, the king is different. We do accept from them. They're not going to change their mind. Once they commit to our project, they're not going to turn around and say, well, second thoughts, and use it as an alibi to disrupt our construction. If a king says, if the Malchus say, we're going to rip out a mountain, we're going to build a tunnel, right? He'll rip out the mountain, the authorities will dismount the mountain and not change their minds. They'll stick with their word and maintain their reputation. So once they commit to our project, they're not going to use it as a an alibi to stop and disrupt it, because if they committed to it, they'll go with it. But from an ordinary go, you never know. So bottom line, to accept from Malchus is okay. Private goy, but chila not, but later on, if it's mesuyim not, but any mesuyim is okay. Amalit Rav Yehuda Amarav, another halacha regarding a goy who donates. Ayim kicham shehivrish truma. Mikiri, he has a kri, a pile of grain. It's an Eretz Yisrael. He decided to, it grew in Eretz Yisrael, so assumingly there's a chiyuv of truma, but he's a goy, right? And he decided to do truma anyways. Sheifrish truma, he separated truma from his grain. But says, now we have to check what he had in mind. Ibadas Israel, if he, his intent was to do it aligned with the Israel system of truma, Ibadas Israel ifrish. Okay, give it to the kain, tenos in the kain as regular truma. Vimla, but otherwise, you never know. Maybe he was donating it to Hashem, to Hegdish. And nowadays you can't bring Hegdish to Beis HaMikdash, right? So now you have to hide it, you have to bury it, destroy it, right? Vimla, tunagnisa. Chayashinu were concerned, Hashem, believe in Hashem, he had a mind to donate it to Hashem. Maybe here comes a kasha. Oyed gichav magoish, it's not of kaira. There's a girsa, Beis HaKnesses. He donated some lumber, a beam, for the shul. Okay, take the liver in. You notice something unusual. L'shem Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is written on that beam. So the guy added a message. V'shem Kosev Olea. What's the status of this piece of wood? But can I say, we check him, we ask him, what do you have in mind? Imam Rav, he says, B'das Yisroel Yifrishu, he says, look, I gave it like a Yid would give it a donation to the shul. It was meant for construction, B'das Yisroel Yifrishu, fresh tiha. So the actual wood has no kedusha, no holiness. Yogurt, but you have to clip off the Shem Hashem, Yisham Hashem Moisem, use the rest. Use it for your shul. Vimlav. But otherwise, then we don't know, maybe when he wrote it, the name of Hashem, he meant to be Mekadosh, sanctified, to designate this piece of wood for Hashem. For Hegdish, Tuna Gnisis, and after hide, put it away. Hashem will concern Hashem and believe Hashem, he had a mind for Hashem. Apparently, it's only because it has the address on it, it has Hashem's name on it, which triggers this concern that perhaps he had Hegdish in mind. Taima, it's only because the Shem Kosev Aleo, we find Hashem's name on it. Dibay Gnisa, which requires Gnisa. So this phenomenon triggers our suspicion. Perhaps his intent was for Hegdish, so the wood is off limits. Ha'in shem kosev aleh, but let's say there's no name on it. There's no shame on it. A apparently there's no reason to suspect that he was donating his wood for Hekdesh. Lo by Yegniza. So why by the Truma do we say otherwise? Why is it a concern of Hekdesh? Says the Gemara, who are in the same exact rule would apply the Afak of the Ein Shem Kosev Aleah. Even without the holy name engraved on this piece of wood, Nami by Yegniza. The Gniza halacha would still apply for concern that he had a mind Hekdesh. Just like by the Truma. So why did the Bryce highlight that he wrote Hashem's name on it? Well, Kamashman, the point of the Bryce is to teach us another halacha regarding the proper treatment of the Shem Hashem engraved on something. The avak of the Shem Kosev Aleah, even though you find Shem Hashem written on this piece of wood, Yagoid v'yishtamash v'maisr. So if you confirm that he had a mind to donate it to the shul, all you have to do is remove, cut away the Shem Hashem and use the rest. Despite the fact that you found Yud Kei Vavke on this piece of wood, it does not affect the whole piece of wood. The Shem Shaloi B'mkoyim, because even though there's a Shem Hashem on it, but yeah, that spot is Kaddish, but otherwise, the rest of the wood, Lav Kaddish is not Kaddish. That's one pshat in Rashi. Another pshat in Rashi is that Hashem's name is meant to be written on in an appropriate setting, on a piece of wood, a piece of paper, etc. But just the name of Hashem without a pasuk, it doesn't belong there, so it's not Kaddish. Anyways, Rashi prefers the first pshat. He says, yeah, okay, so this little section has Kedusha, but the rest is okay. It's none, as we find likewise in the Mishnah. Some say it's a Braisa, right? Shem Shalem Kamil of Kaddish, the Sanyo, Hayukosav al Yodas Akela. We discover Shem Hashem written on the handle of a Kli, Al Karamita, on the legs of the bed. So if you find it on the bed frame, on the Kli, Arizi Yogurt. So you snip off the Shem Hashem Bigmez and put in the Shemus, and the rest you can use. Remember when I was a kid in the Yeshiva of Brooklyn? So a kid came running to the Rebbe that by the washroom, one of the doors had Hashem's name on it. Apparently a kid wrote the name Hashem there on the wooden door. What to do? So the Rebbe came with a little carving knife and he carved out that piece that was like a hollow door, so he was able to do it. He carved out the wood with the name of Hashem, took it off the door and sent it to Shemus. There was a little hole in the door. How is it? Yo, good with Ignis. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu. Ha'imer Sela Zu Litzdaka. A fellow pledges a certain coin, this dollar, for Litzdaka. Mudla Shanoisa. If he wants to use it in the meantime for something else and pay back, he can do that. Sovereign Minod Ibnei Yeshiva figured, La'atzmai, if it's a personal use, presumably that's what he had in mind. When he put it in the Pushka, if I'll need it for a couple. La'atzmai, and yeah. La'acher, but to use it for his friend, Lloyd, that's not what he had in mind. Itmar, Amar, Ami, Amar, Yech, it doesn't matter for yourself, for your friend. You can temporarily borrow it and pay back later. Vein La'atzmai, whether for your own use, Vein La'acher, for your other fellow, it's okay. Remember, I was once in Camp Agura, sitting with Shrol Belsky, got sat in the office, and he wanted to show me something interesting. He had this utensil, lever used during a bris. It's like a pliers that's bent in the middle. He was showing me the tremendous leverage, the power that it has. He turned around, he put his hand in this bowl of coins, which was stucca. He pulled out a penny. He says, okay, you're allowed to borrow stucca money to repay later. Let me show you. And he took the penny, put it under this utensil, and just gave a squeeze, and the thing cut in half, the penny cut in half. He said, wow, you see the power of leverage. So, yeah, you're allowed to borrow money from Staka and return and repay later, whether it's for yourself or l'achirim. Amar b'zira, there's another condition. Loishon, it's only correct el d'amar alai. I am pledging this money for Staka. So since he said alai, that's tantamount to kabbalas achrayis. He's responsible. He's liable for this pledge, meaning if money goes missing, he has to pay it back, so it makes sense that it's like his and he can use it and give it back. But let's say he pointed to the coin and says, this is Daka, without adding a lie, the personal dimension. In this case, he He has to give the coin as is. You can't borrow it because it's item-based. It's object-based. This item is committed. You can't switch it. Mask of the Rav, just the opposite. Ad the Rav, if anything, the opposite. If Mishtavar, it makes sense to go the other way. Amar Zu, if you pledge this specific coin, Mishtavar, can you? We should let him use it. Because otherwise, he won't be responsible if something goes wrong. We want him to be responsible. We want an added level of liability. So use it. Go ahead and use it. This way you're responsible for any losses. This way you're liable for losses. Because if you're allowed to use it, then it's like in your possession, and you're responsible for it. Aval Omar alai, but if he's limited to just, I will give this coin, loy. In this case, he's already liable. He already has to make up for losses, so there's no reason to allow him to use it. Elishna, the truth is, irrespective of zu or alai, either way, he has a green light to use it and repay later. Tanakh say the rabbi, there's right to rabbi, and in fact, there's no difference which way it goes. Neder tztaka. A cryptic brisa, a riddle brisa. Neder tztaka, vein hegdish tztaka. What does this mean? Maikom, what does the brisa mean? A neder is not tztaka. Right? I'm giving something, that's the bedek habayit, beis hamikdash. Nor is hegdish tztaka. Tztaka is tztaka. What's the connection? Loi neder tztaka, nor is loi hegdish tztaka. El la vachikom, the brisa means like this. Tztaka, when you pledge tztaka to the poor, harihi b'bal ta'achar. So, just as you can't procrastinate when you pledge a carbon to Beis HaMikdash, there's a whole discussion in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, if it's one yom tov, three yom tov, in any case, there's a concept called Baal Tach, don't delay. Likewise, by tzedakah, takes it there, says, if you have an even in front of you, you pledge tzedakah, you have to give it to him right away. You can't hold on to it and delay. But on the other hand, Vein of the Hegdash. Tzedakah is not equivalent to Hegdash, in a certain extent. Dilu Hegdash Asulish Tamushabit. Because whereas Hegdish is something which belongs to the rest of the Hegdish, you can't use it even temporarily. But Tztaka, you can borrow and repay. Tztaka, Shara, Yala, to Shamush, to use. So according to this version in the Gemara, it was a progressive elaboration of the Halacha, meaning we started with Rav Nachman, that one can, you know, temporarily use Tztaka. Rabbi Ami added, even if it's for somebody else's use, and Rav added, whether it's Arei Lai, Arei Zu, Amr Rav Kahana, says Rav Kahana, Amrita l'shmaita. I presented this whole discussion, Kameda Rav Zvid, in front of Rav Zvid, Naharda, Vamrali Nito, but Amr, he says, you have that version. Amr Atun Hochimas Nisulo, you have that version. That it started with a general halacha and then it was explained further. But according to our version of events, Rav Nachman gave us the full package right away, with all the details. Anan, we had a different version. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, bravo, Amar Rav. Haimer sells a little tztaka, if he commits this coin to tztaka, he can use it temporarily for something else. Whether it's for yourself, or for some, Bein La'atzmon, Bein La'acher, it doesn't matter how we pledged, Bein Amar Alai, whether it was a personal commitment, Bein Amar Harisu. Tana Rabbana. Okay, further on this topic of temporarily borrowing tzedakah money. Tana Rabbana. Sell azul tzedakah. Okay, I'm committing, pledging this coin to tzedakah. Can I go ahead and use it? Well, it depends. Actually, bos liad gabai, before it got to the hands of the gabai tzedakah, right, of the tzedakah manager, until that point, then it's just a pledge, it's a commitment, and like we said, you can borrow it. Mutul shanois, you can go and divert it. But mishe bos liad gabai, once the gabai took possession, at this point, it's like he was zeiche in this money for the sake of the yanim. He represents the poor. It's like they took physical possession of that money. You cannot take it now and use it. It belongs to them. We turn to him and base, Ani, is that so? For Rabbi Yanai, who was a Gabai tzedakah, when he collected money, Yosef, he would borrow and pay it back later, Pora. How could he? If he represented the Aniim, it's theirs. Shami Rabbi Yanai, the answer is Rabbi Yanai, conducted himself in this manner, in a way which actually benefited them, because he would now go around saying, oh, the account's empty, Rabbi Yisai. times are tight, money is tight, let's go, then you need money. Look, we have an empty account, because he had temporarily taken out the money. So ultimately it was for their benefit, and that's what was allowed. Shani Rabbiani conduct himself differently, meaning it's different there. The Nichlu Lanin Anima pleased with him taking out the money temporarily and presenting their fate as dire. The Kama the Mashi, because the longer he delays and Ma'asa, he would get people to donate Umaislu and get them more money. Tanu Rabbanu. Yisrael, she's not a Menorah Neid Bes HaKnesses. Yisrael donated a Menorah, light fixture, or Neir, or a lamp, or Bes HaKnesses. Also, Shanozi, you can't go and apply it for a different use. It's meant for the shul. So Rabbi Chila Bar Abba, maybe he figured, like, no, it doesn't matter. You can't divert it with Dvar Rishus, whether it's for non-mitzvah use, or even if it's a mitzvah use, it's designated for the Beis HaKnesses. Amar the Rabbi Ami, no, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon teaches us Leishon al-Dvar Rishus. You can't go and divert it for non-mitzvah purposes, even if it benefits the public, it's meant for a mitzvah. Al dar mitzvah, but if it's ultimately going to be used for a mitzvah, whether it's in the shul or in a different context, well, there's nice, you can switch it, because that was his mindset. I'm giving it to the public according to their discretion. How do I know that it can be changed for a different mitzvah? But the Amar Be'as, Amar Be'echon, Be'echon is quoted as saying that by a guy, a guy donated likewise a kind of lamp or a lamp. So until the name of the donor becomes sort of dissipated and forgotten, meaning as long as we can still identify it by way of its donor, people are mindful, look, this guy donated this thing, then you shouldn't switch it, you shouldn't divert it. But once they've been years and the donor's name has been forgotten, in that case mutl shanoisa, you can switch it and apply it elsewhere. Lamai, now what's the alternate use? Ilim advar rishus. So when Rabbi Yechon teaches that as long as the donor's name is still fresh, you cannot divert it. What are you diverting it to? Ilim advar rishus for non-mitzvah use. Then my area of Kichavim, why are we relating to a guy specifically? I feel Yisrael, not even if it was donated by a Yid. You have no right to switch it to a non-mitzvah use if it was meant for a mitzvah. Eldar mitzvah. Oh, apparently he's diverting it for another mitzvah. And the point of the Brisa is, v'taima, the Kichavim, the concern is strictly by a guy. Who? The Pai. Because the guy will yell, what are you doing? He doesn't trust the people. Oh, you're using it, you're diverting it. So we don't want to get involved in a confrontation, so we avoid Aval Yisroel Loi Poi, but by Yid, who's not going to yell and scream, he's trusting, he knows the Gabayim know best, right? Shabbatam, in that case, there's no issue in reallocating it for a different mitzvah. In fact, there was a story, Sha'azrak, that was his name, Taya, a Geisha merchant, in the Shragi donated a lamp of Beit Nishti to the shul of the Rabbi Yehuda. Shandye Rechava, so Rechava switched it for a different mitzvah use. And Rava was not happy. Vikvad Rava. Yigadamri, some say it was Shani Rava. Rava switched it. Vikvad Rava. Rava wasn't happy. Yigadamri, some say Shani Chazoni Pamedisa, the caretakers of the shul over there in Pamedisa, they switched it. Vikvad Rava, Vikvad Rava. And both Rava and Rava were unhappy. Now, what are the factors at play? Manda Shani, the one who switched it, somebody figured, Lo Shkriach. He's a merchant. He's always traveling on the road. He's not going to notice that we did this. There's no issue. Uman the Ikba, the one that was unhappy, somebody figured, listen, you never know, he might show up one day and start yelling, it'll be a Chil Hashem. Zimna could happen, the Mikri Yossi could chance upon us and he'll come by and notice. So don't take chances. Okay, bottom line, could you divert a donation? So if it's for mitzvah use, it shouldn't be a problem. Unless by a guy, if it's still fresh and there's a concern about Chil Hashem, then avoid. Either way, you cannot switch it for Dvar Rishus. Continues the Mishnah. Now, says, a fellow who is close to death, he's hovering. Or he was condemned by a Jewish bezin to be executed for doing an avir. He cannot serve as a subject of a erech. You can't point to him and pledge his erech, nor can you pledge his market value. Well, market value he doesn't have. And erech as well, as we're going to see in the Gemara. which Rav Chanina and Akavi takes issue. Rav Chanina and Akavi Omer. Now Rech Erech does apply. That's not related to market value. Meshadom of Ketsuvin. That rate is a fixed rate prescribed in the Torah, irrespective of his precarious position. Rav Yesi adds another point. Rav Yesi Omer. He himself can pledge and commit to all kinds of things. Noider, Umar, Chumagdish. He can make a neder, an erech, he can donate things to the Beit HaBayis, the Beit HaMikdash, even at this late stage. Vim Hizik Chayv, likewise, if he damages, breaks a window on the way out of the Bezin, he's responsible, his kids have to pay for it. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Tanakama says, a goisis, a fellow on death row, cannot be a subject of neder, nor erechin. Why? Bishlam, he goisis, I understand, loy neder. He can't become a subject of neder, he doesn't have value. Labar Adamim, he doesn't have value. Loy nerech, likewise. You can't pledge his erech, because the lav bar hamod of arochu, the pasuk says vehemet veherach, is standing up and assess him, his age, etc. He can't do that. He's not able to stand up. Lav bar hamod of arochu. Okay, I understand. But what about the second, the condemned fellow, el yetzel laharik, being taken out, be executed? So why can't he be the subject of my erech? Bishloim lo nidar. I understand. Neder doesn't apply. Lav bar dam, he doesn't have value. Nobody would buy him at this point. What about Erechon? Why not? The Sanya answers, we have a Braisa, which sources it in the Pasuk. A person's condemned. And he pledges, Erech, I'm giving you my Erech. Shalemar Klum, it's not valid. The Pasuk tells us, a person who's being condemned. There's no value, there's no pin, there's no Erech. What if he pledges before the verdict was issued? Tamal Leimar. Min Adam. But like Adam. So it's all in this pasuk. Min Adam. Only sometimes, once it's condemned, but like Adam, not every case, meaning before the verdict was issued, it's okay. He has value. He has erech. That's the Tanakama's source. Well, Rabbi Chanin Ma'akavi, the second shita, the Amor says nerech, he has erech. Because it's a set rate, unrelated to his precarious position. How does he address the pasuk that we just quoted? Hai kol chere mai avadu. What do we do with this pasuk? For a different point. Look at the sanya, as we learned, Rabbi Ishmo. Binoi. Shel rechem brik oimer. Lefisha matzinu. You know, we find an interesting phenomenon. Lemum sim b'dei shamayim. At times, even if a person is liable to death in hashamayim, Rashi brings, for instance, if his ox gore, the pasuk says, the owner who failed to look after his ox, the Gambal of Yimas, is really guilty and liable to Misa, but Pasuk says he can pay up. Kofar, he pays Kofar as payment to the victim's family. So in a way you can consider it like payment in lieu of death. Vishamatsin, we find Lumumasim de Shemaim, those who are liable to death, Menash Shemaim, Shnoisin Maman Mskaperlan. They can pay, make a payment, and it atones for them. He'll be assessed kaifer, he pays, and he's off the hook. Does that apply also to those condemned by a bezin? Yochel, perhaps, even those condemned by a bezin? They can issue a payment instead? No, kol cherem leipod. A fellow who's meant to be executed, kol cherem. Leipod, there's no payment. In lieu. Perhaps that only applies to severe deaths, meaning deaths that apply to severe averis. What we find, like a person, Rashi brings, that's an example of something which triggers chiyuv misa, which has no, you know, carbon option. If it was done inadvertently, there's no carbon. The inadvertent situation, inadvertent version, doesn't have kapara. So due to its severity, perhaps, he's chayv misa by bezin, there's no payment in lieu. But misa is kalas. We'll have, let's say, executions which are applied to lighter, less severe averes, with respect that they have a concept of a kapara. Shenitna shigasan, if they were done inadvertently, there's lekapara, they were given, they're allowed for kapara, you can bring a carbon. For instance, Rashi says, a ritzeach, a murderer. Purposely, there is Misa, but B'shoigig, we all know that Pesachas Makas, he goes to Golas. So perhaps in that case, even if he's liable to Misa by Bezin, pull out a check and write out a check as a Kapora, Benayin, how do we know that a payment cannot address it? Tamalei Mekol Cherem, Kol Cherem, all situations of Misa do not allow for monetary redemptions. Okay, so let's review the Mishnah again. A Goy says, Yotzei L'Horeg, it can't become neither. They have no market value. What about Nerach? Tanakhama learns from a pasuk that even Yetzel Harag is excluded from that. And Akivya disagrees. He says it's a set rate unrelated to actual value. The pasuk applies to something else. Now, Goy says all agree. Has no Erech because you can't stand them up and assess them. Rabbi Yishe Menedu Marech. So, we're on to the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishe states that a fellow in this precarious state can do Neder, can do Erech, can do Hegdish. If he damages, he's responsible. Now, is he responding to an opposing view? But Tanakama, Mikomer Deloid, did Tanakama have any opinion, state any opinion that to the extent that he can't pledge? What's the Machlekes about? Tanakama was speaking about being the subject of a pledge, but perhaps Tanakama agrees he himself can pledge and donate. Ella, you're right. So Rabbi Yossi related to four items. He pledged a neder, erech, hegdish. That's universal. All agree it works. The punchline was number four. Imhizik chayv l'shalim. To which Tanakama disagrees. Ella benoider, umaruch umagdish. On the first three instances, kulam lepligi, all agree. Even Tanakama agrees. He pledges. He's responsible. He pleaded him his. The question is if he damages. Do his kids have to pick up the tab after he dies? Tanakama sar, Tanakama says, no. Im hizik, even if he damaged at this point, there's no chiyuv to pay. Rabbi Yisrael Sever, he is chayv to pay. Im hizik chayv b'tashlumin. What's the machlokes based on? I'm Rabbi Yosef. You know, typically we know that only a milva Bishtar, which is formalized in a document, debt which is documented, carries over to the kids, but a verbal loan, that doesn't carry over to the kids. So this, in effect, is a verbal loan. It's a verbal debt, meaning it's not documented. It wasn't formalized. He broke a window, that's it. So this is an example of the move al peh. Is that going to be goyvim and ayoshin? Can he collect it from that, the inheritors, or not? Commonly, that's the machlik. Tanakama sover. Tanakama says, "No, move al peh. No, any gavination can collect it from the kids. Rabbi Yisrael sover. Move al peh can also be gavim and ayoshim. Can collect it from the kids. It's an obligation upon the father. It carries over to the kids." Rabbi had a different approach. Rabbi Omer, the kulam all agree. If it's just a plain standard move al peh, the kulam move al peh, any gavim and ayoshim. Of course, you can't collect it from the kids. But here it's different, because the Torah imposes this obligation. It's a Torah imposed. The Torah which says when you break something you pay. It's not just a regular loan. It's not just a verbal commitment. And that's the machlik. To what extent does it commit his family? Tanakama Sover. It's still one and the same as a verbal loan. Tanakama Sover. Love. It doesn't have the status of a documented loan. So the kids are off. Rabbi Sover. No, it's stronger than a regular loan. Kiksuva b'shtar damya. And the kids have to pick it up. V'iku damas laho. Okay, so this was one version of the Gemara. The Pshat in the Mishnah, Tanakama exempts from Hezek, Rabbeisi's Machayiv, we had the explanation. Now some apply the same reasoning to the Braisa, where we find, in fact, a similar Machlaikis, in terms of the extent of the children's liability for the father's damages. Hayetzel Harak, person's been taken out, being killed by the Bezin. Hu shechala b'achayram chayiv, he hurt somebody on the way, right? If he harms another person, he has to pay. Acherim shechav l'boy betur. If others damage him, they're potter. Rashi says because he has no market value, which is really the formula used to assess personal damage. Rabbi Shimon Lozer Omer, guess what? Afu, just as they're exempt for hurting him, he's also exempt for hurting others. Imchav v'acherim potter because shloiditan chazoras. You can't recall him back. Amidas bezin. To the bezin session to assess him and to judge him for it. We don't delay the carrying out of execution. It's called Inui Hadin. We turn to the next Amid. So what does the Tanakama hold? We do call him back and delay his judgment. We call Tanakama. So what do you mean Tanakama holds? Nitan Chazar Samin's Bezin? It's given to be returned and rejudged in the Bezin? Of course not. Amar Rav Yosef. That's not the point of Machlekes. The question now is whether the kids will pick up the tab along the lines of our previous discussion. So this is a damage that he committed. It's a milva peh. Milva peh. Goy v'min ayosh. The question is whether that gets billed to the kids. Tanakama sover. No. Milva peh. Yes. Goy v'min ayosh. Rishim v'lo sover. Any goy v'min ayosh. The kids are not liable. Rabba Amar. Same like before. The kuliyamo. Milva peh. Any goy v'min ayosh. All agree. It doesn't go to the kids. Vacham milva ksuvish. Torah. Here, since it's a Torah imposed obligation, perhaps that has the same level as a formal document. That's the machlokes. Tamakamar Sover, yes. Kesubrishtar Dami, the kids pick up the tab. Shemlozer Sover, no. Love. Kesubrishtar Dami, and therefore the kids are off the hook. So yeah, if we theoretically could have called him back into Bezdin and obligated him, we're going to see in a minute, that would constitute a formal liability, like a shtar, and the kids would have to pick it up. But since we can't, practically can't call him back on the way out to execution, so now it's just sort of a damage which was not formalized and not documented. Hence the machlokes. Maybe here comes a kash. So in our Mishnah we have the Tanakama, who says the kids are off the hook. And at the next price, it seems that the kids are chay for the father's damages. Maisvi, how chay for barbers is around. Fellow digs a pit in the street, unauthorized dig. Vinavalo shor comes along an ox, trips into the pit, and falls onto the digger. Vaharogen kills him. Potter. So the animal owner is exempt from paying any payment to the kid, to the victim's family. He has no business digging in the street. Vlo yai. Furthermore, Elish Emesa Sher, if the ox died during the fall, Yershe Bala Berchev Nushalem. So the inheritors of the digger, of the bear maker, have to pay the owner of the ox to make sure the value of the ox, the balav, to the owner. Apparently, the liability of damages carries over to the kids, unlike our mission, which says the fellow is potter. Kids are potter. Amar Ila, Amar Rav. We're speaking about a unique situation where the Bezdin quickly issued a verdict. He was taken to the Bezdin. What did he do? He caused the death of the Shor by negligence. Pay up. So now, Rashi says, since the Bezdin issued that formal verdict, formal chiyuv, it's like as though it's an ashtar. And that carries over to the kids. V'harogi katani, how could he say he was taken to the Bezdin? He was summoned to the court? He died on the spot. He didn't actually physically kill him. He made him internally very unwell, made him a treifa. So he's going to die. For all practical purposes, he dies. But in the meantime, he's still alive. Hence, the Bezdin gets involved and issues a verdict. And then when he dies, it carries over to the kids. Didn't Rav Nachman tell us? Tani Chaga. Chaga had another twist to the story. Mesu Kvari, according to his version, the ox, as he fell in, killed the fellow and buried him under the dirt. Apparently he died instantly. There's no time to summon him to the Bezdin to issue a verdict. So the true answer is like this. The Yasvi, they were sitting, the Dayan, the judges were sitting right there on site, at Puma de Bira, at the mouth of the pit, meaning they were sitting on site and they issued an instant verdict. As it was happening. And they managed to get the verdict out before the fellow died. So now it's like a formal chiv, it's like a milvah b'shtar. And that, of course, carries over to the kids. Okay, in conclusion, we discussed when we accept a donation from a goy, so not in the beginning of the Esamilish's construction, concerned that they're agenda-driven to disrupt our work, but later on you can accept it, but it's not the Ramah Suyam. A goy donates truma. We check his intentions, if it was just for the coin or for Hegdish. Likewise, if he sent a, you know, lumber to the shul, even if you find the Shem Hashem, just scrape it off, take it off, be going to it in the rest. Well, it depends what he had in mind. We learned about temporarily borrowing money from tzedakah until it gets to the aniyim or to the gabi v'aniyim. We spoke about switching the candelabra, the ner, for other mitzvah uses, which is typically allowed unless there's an issue of a run-in with a goy. A goy says yeti lahara, cannot be neither, whether it could be nerach and samachleikis. He can certainly pledge. What if he's mazik? It's given to machlekas as well. But if there was a gemar din before he died, of course, the kids pick up the tab. All the best to you and atzlachara.